trust we might be able to leave a little impression springing out from James chapter 4. In verse 8. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Turn with me to Genesis 45. Genesis 45, at the end of verse 1, Joseph made himself known to his brethren, and he raised his voice in weeping. Verse 4, Joseph said to his brethren, "Come near to me." The book of Ruth. Verse 14. Book of Ruth, chapter 2, verse 14. Boaz said to her at mealtime, "Come hither and eat of the bread. Dip thy morsel in the vinegar." Last Song of Songs, chapter 1, and verse 4. "Draw me, we will run after thee." Just some simple impression. Drawing near would remind us of the fact that if there is any distance, that distance is removed. We couldn't draw near and still maintain a distance. Drawing near would involve the matter of the power of attraction. Divine persons desire that we might be so attracted to them that all else around us fades into insignificance, while the attraction centers in and on Christ. The principle that we saw in James is that we resist the devil, he will flee. And we said that the devil finds something of Christ in us, and that pushes him away. Hence, if there is something of Christ, there will be the desire and the aspiration to draw near to God. Because in God is all the divine resources that are available to enable us to push through this scene, force our way unto glory. I'm thinking of the kingdom of God, how it is rushed into. We push our way into the kingdom of God because the kingdom of God has the rights of God, has the rights of Christ. So this drawing near, I was reminded of Joseph. He has come to the point where he must now reveal himself to his brethren who had not realized that all the blessings that they had been enjoying had come from the very one whom they had condemned to die. They had condemned him to death. Reuben says, no, don't kill him. Leave him alone. All right, let's drop him in the pit. And you know what, I'll come back a little later on and get him. But they were all determined that Joseph was not going to manifest the effects of the dream that he had had. This dreamer is coming, let's get rid of him. But here, on this occasion of Genesis 45, there's a recognition now that they've been blessed. They've been brought into the presence of one who they're not quite sure about what's happening until they started seeing Joseph weeping. Why are you weeping, Joseph? Or why are you weeping, sir? Because they didn't know him as Joseph yet. Why are you weeping? Well, only Joseph had entered into the sweetness of what it means now to reveal himself to his brethren and to see their responses. And so he says to them, I am Joseph. What silence. What a moment. I am Joseph. And you know, I think he says it a second time. Yes. First of all, I am Joseph. Then he comes back and he says a second time, I am Joseph, your brother. How their mouths dropped to realize that this is the one who they had despised and rejected. This is going to be true in a coming day, you know, of Christ. I am Jesus Christ, the one you crucified. And Israel is going to repeat Isaiah 53 in that day. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. That's another subject for a moment. But I want to emphasize the fact that Joseph says to his brethren, come near. Come near. Just as we had, draw near to God. Joseph, a type of Christ, wants to engage his brethren with the reality that he's the one who they had despised and rejected. He's now in a place of prominence. God wants us to draw near so that we enjoy the reality of the sweetness that flows from divine resources that are available to us. Come near. It's the idea of closeness, that divine persons is looking for opportunities whereby we might be in close proximity with divine persons. To think of that. We are not equal to divine persons, but we have been made so close. The songwriter says, so near that we could not be any nearer than we have been brought. For in the Son, we are as near to God the Father as He is. Come near. No distance any longer between Joseph and his brethren. It's been removed. They did not fully yet, because even after Joseph had died, they still continue to question the possibility as to what is going to happen to us. They were not in the full proximity of the enjoyment of Joseph's liberty that he had given to them. But nevertheless, here on this occasion, they are brought close enough so that Joseph could say to them, you intended evil, but God intended good. Draw near. In Ruth, the impress there is that Ruth has come back from Moab with Naomi, and she's come home to enjoy the freshness of the fact that there was bread in Bethlehem, Judah. There was now an abundance of supply in the very place that Elimelech and Naomi had left, the house of bread, and saying to themselves, there's nothing here for us. How could there not be something in the house of bread? It says there was famine. Is there a possibility that there could be famine in the house of bread? Absolutely not. There might be famine in my soul, and as a result, I go away from what is of God. So they had gone away, but now there was bereavement. Elimelech is gone. The two sons are gone. Naomi is left with Ruth and Orpah. Orpah decides, I'm not going back up to Moab. I'm not going up to Bethlehem with you. I'm going back to my gods. Ruth is determined she's going. So she comes home with Naomi, and ultimately, Ruth is found going into the fields to glean. And she's interested in gaining through gleaning. And she happens to light upon the plot that belongs to a man, Boaz, who is kin to Naomi. And wonderfully, she engages there, and Boaz ultimately comes to the reapers. And I like this thought because I think it gels with the thoughts we were speaking about in business. Subjecting ourselves to our bosses and to have bosses who are Christian bosses. I thank God I have one of those. I work for myself. To have a Christian boss. And what happened every time Boaz came into the field and he saw the reapers, he says, God bless you. God bless you. How nice it would be to have that kind of conditions in your employment, right? Where there is such a spiritual tone existing. And so Ruth, he inquires of her and discovers that she is the one who came back from Moab with her mother-in-law Naomi, and he charges the young men. You see her? She's a pure person. You're going to keep your hands off. He charges those who are her attendants to attend to her. He ultimately says, leave pieces in the corner as one of the requirements in the nation of Israel, that when you reap, you're to leave in the corners that for the poor and the stranger. And ultimately, what we have before us is that he invites her at mealtime. Mealtime is a time of special favors. He invites her to join him on that occasion, and then he passes to her special favors. First, he says to her, come hither. Come hither. It's the same principle of drawing near. Come hither. Come close to me. I want to feel you in proximity with me, in closeness with me. And it says, he gives her that she might eat bread and dips, ask her to dip the morsel in vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he passes her parched corn. Special favor. She was distinguished at that moment. He handed to her what was special, what was going to give her a sense of security, a sense of well-being. And that's what he wants to do to us as we come near to him, to give us special dainties, special favors. Last but not least, in the book of Solomon, we read, draw me. Draw me. No longer draw near to God. No longer come near come hither. But now the response is coming from the woman of beauty. Draw me. And she says, not I will run after you. She says, we will run after you. There's a co-joint exercise now as we come to the end. We've been drawn or challenged to be drawn to God. May it be that we are asking him also in the intimacy of his love and affection to draw us, to draw me. And what will happen is that there will be a co-joint, cohesive response. We will move towards him. May the Lord encourage our hearts for his name's sake. Amen.